Creator, our life sustainer, deliverer, our comfort, our joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter, our peace in the midst of the storm. With signs and wonders, you've shown your power. With precious blood, you've shown us your grace. You've been our helper, our liberator, the giver of life with no end. I still remember the day you saved me, the day I heard you call out my name. You said you loved me, would never leave me, and I've never been the same.
Remember the day that the Lord saved you? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some things are hard to forget. I don't believe that someone that's truly been saved could ever forget that day. Of course, I believe it's in 1 Peter or 2 Peter. He actually comments on that. And he talks about the person that has been saved, but yet there is a lack of fruit in their life, or a waning of it. He said sometimes if there's a lack of fruit or a waning from fruit in your life, then sometimes we have forgotten that we've been purged from our old sins. Peter talks about that. This morning, although life is hard and life is long, we have a helper through life. And as long as I'm in my right mind and after the Lord, I don't want to ever wane from following Him. I don't want to swoon. I don't want to retreat. But I want to move forward, don't you?
Amen.
I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church. And I want to say Happy New Year to you. And it's hard to believe it's 2019, doesn't it? Days are rolling by and time's flying by. But we're excited. We're excited to be here. We're excited for this year. And the Lord's going to do great and mighty things. I'm not just saying that to say it. I believe that. I believe that God is going to do great and mighty things. I believe He wants to do great and mighty things. We'll share more in the message, but we all hold a part in that. And my prayer is that everybody under the sound of my voice wants the same thing. I'm sure you do, or you wouldn't be here this morning. And it's good to have our visitors with you, with us, with you sitting next to you. Wonder how many first-time visitors do we have? If this is your first time, would you raise your hand? All right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And absolutely. And, of course, we're good friends with the Tidwell family here. And they're back this morning. And it's good to see them. And, of course, it's good to have Miss Savannah's mother with us. Miss Matt, Shelley, and sometimes I got to slow down and really think about each and every person and their names. It's hard when you get up here to remember everything, but you can't forget good friends. We appreciate you guys coming, and we love you. And thanks to all those who are visiting with us. You're our honored guest, and our prayer is this morning is that you'll get something from the Lord and that He will speak to you and that you'll leave with assurance of your in your heart of salvation, but also direction on where to go in life. And that's our prayer. Just a couple of things, and we'll toss it back to Brother Allen this morning. Be in prayer for Miss Taylor, Miss Taylor Brooke. She had emergency surgery this past week, and so you pray for her. I believe she's recovering. I'm not sure if she's at home recovering or the hospital, but she's at home? Okay. She's at home recovering. That's great. Good to see Miss Diane Ely and her two eye surgeries she's had recently. And so you remember her and her recovery, but also her brother. Has he? Bless you. Which hospital is that? St. Joseph. Okay. You pray. Michael Gibson. Remember this request this morning, and I've been in touch with the Ely's. They have with me about this. We've been praying for them. I just wanted to make that public. And there's many to pray for. Please grab a bulletin in the back, on the side here. Be up to date on all of those. Good to see the Daly's with us this morning, and Brother Jim, Sister Dawn, good to see them. A couple things. It is the new year, and we have a good bit of things taking place in coming months. I do want to say this. Next Sunday night, we're going to have a baptism service, and remember that. Make plans of being here for that. We got one getting baptized. Robert down here in the front. He's came to me several times, wanting to follow through with believer's baptism, and it was just a matter of talking and setting up some dates. And so, the Lord willing, next Sunday night we'll be baptizing him, and then on the 20th, Brother Don, Sister Carla will be with us, Carla Rich, and he'll be preaching both services on the 20th. And let me go ahead and get this out here. Time's flying by. It was the holidays. Now it's the new year. And it's hard to believe that March is within our grasp. And we know what March is, what's in March for Calvary, and that's Jubilee. Jubilee's coming. These are the dates. And then if you give me a couple weeks, I'll have a for sure list, the lineup of the preachers and singers. But it's going to be Sunday, March the 3rd, through Thursday, March the 7th. Okay, that's March 3rd through the 7th. It'll be Jubilee, and we're excited, looking forward to that. And so you remember that. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and we will give it back to Brother Allen. And this being the first Sunday of the new year, let's relax and worship. Let's ask God to help us take off any restraints this morning that may hinder what He wants to do. If God didn't want to do something, there wouldn't be a Calvary here this morning. This is an open door to receive direction, to receive salvation. Let me say this as well. These altars are open now. The altars are open. You need to come pray. You hit this altar wide open. You do it. You pray. You may want to come down and praise the Lord. You come. You may want to pray about something. You come. During the preaching, you come. During the singing, you come. Anytime God speaks to you and you need to come, you come. And that's our prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in no other name but Jesus' name. Lord, first and foremost, I want to say thank you for this open door for me and my family to be able to stand in this capacity, Lord, and speak to your people. We don't take that for granted nor lightly. We serve a living God this morning. Jesus is seated at his right hand, making intercession for us. Father, this morning we are getting ready to open the living word. The stage is set this morning. There's people here. There's music with a message being sang this morning. We're about to get into the Word of God. Everything is set for us to do business with you. We're not promised another day. We're not promised another breath. My prayer, Lord, is that by the time we leave this place this morning, we could step down the steps in the front on the way out and say no regrets. No regrets. No regrets because the worries that possibly we've brought in, we have given to you. No regrets concerning past failures because we have come this morning, Lord, and laid those past failures down at your feet and you have forgiven us. No regrets, Lord, because we have came back to you and have embraced that calling that you have called us to do. We're not running from your callings anymore, Lord, if that be the case for some. But as we leave, let there be no regrets, Lord. No regrets, but only new beginnings. Lord, as we leave this morning and we go to our own homes, let there be an anticipation to come back. Lord, how that element is missing in so many churches. And Lord, this morning, my desire for Calvary Baptist Church is that the members thereof would have a spirit of anticipation to want to come back. I can remember in my early years going to church, even Floyd Road, that every service I was so filled with anticipation. What would happen on Sunday night? What would happen on Wednesday? What would happen on Sunday morning? Oh God, help us to be all in, sold out to Thee, that we might give our lives for the gospel and to preach and teach and be there for people. Lord, we want there to be no regrets this morning, but new beginnings. Father, I pray this morning for any foul spirit, any demonic force, any foul spirit, any hindrance, Lord, that may be opposing us. I pray in the sweet name of Jesus that all those spirits must flee at His sweet name, because we have come together to worship, to honor, to glorify, to see souls saved, to see Christians back in the harness with God. Do so, Lord, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand this morning? Turn over to page number 393. Page 393, let's all stand and sing When We All Get to Heaven. Everyone sing now. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing on the last. Onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open. We shall tread streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all sing, sing it again, church. Come on, choir, sing it again. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout victory. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. That is good singing this morning. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all get to heaven. We can rejoice here. Amen?
Amen.
So good to see you in the house of the Lord. You're a good-looking group this morning. Everybody smile at me. Y'all look great. Happy 2019. Happy New Year to everyone. It is so good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. You are a great-looking crowd, and we thank you for being here. If you're visiting with us, thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship this morning. It's so good to see you here today. Please remember our service, of course, this evening at 6 o'clock. Choir, if you'll be here with me at 5:30. And we are very excited about this year. We're very excited about Jubilee right around the corner. And we're going to take a little bit of a break this evening and meet at 5:30. And then for the next weeks, we'll hit the ground running, try and get some new songs ready for Jubilee. And let me just tell you, or ask you, I guess, if I could, if you've been praying about becoming a member of the choir, it would be a great time for you to get involved this next year. And it would be a great time for you to get involved with us now as we get ready for Jubilee. We would love to have you come be a part of the choir. We've practiced a couple of times on Sundays. And it's a great time of fellowship. And we sing songs about Jesus, uplift His name, and praise and worship Him. So if you've been praying about that, it'd be a great time for you to come be a part of the choir. I'll just throw that out there to you. We'd love to have you. So please, if not, if you pray for us, we'd sure appreciate the prayers. But we'd love to have some folks come be a part of that. We have some folks missing today in the choir. There's some out sick, so please remember them in prayer. We have several folks going through some sicknesses, so let's lift each of them up in prayer as well. And we just want to go to the Lord here in a word of prayer concerning that. But please remember, of course, Wednesday night, a Bible study and prayer meeting here at the church. And so please remember that as well. But let's go to Him in a word of prayer and ask God's blessing on the service, on the offering this morning, both the gift and the giver. Again, please remember the service tonight at 6, choir practice 5:30. But let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we love You. And we praise You, Lord, and we thank You for the opportunity we have to be here. Lord, we thank You for the health and the strength that You have given us to be in Your house. Some are not that fortunate this morning, Lord. Some are sick and unable to be here today. But Lord, we know that You are the master healer, the one that can heal and touch. And Lord, we pray that You touch each one. You know exactly what is needed in their lives. And Lord, we pray that Your healing hand would be upon each one that are unable to be here today because of sickness. And Lord, some are just going through some difficult times, Lord, financially and emotionally even, Lord, and pray that You would touch them as well. Lord, I pray that You would, Lord, have Your hand upon our church here at Calvary. Lord, we anticipate what You have for us and what is in store for us in 2019. And Lord, we thank You for the way that You've touched us in 2018. But Lord, now that year's in the past. And Lord, we stand in need of a new touch for this new coming year and pray that You'd be with Brother Justin. Touch him, speak through him, Lord. Pray that You'd be with us. Lord, may our hearts and our minds be open to receive what You have for us in this new coming year. Lord, I pray that you would start this morning, and Lord, give us a spirit of revival. Lord, may a fire burn within this place because of your presence here. And Lord, I pray that you would be with each one. Lord, thank you for these that are visiting with us today, and pray that they would feel at home here at Calvary, and when they leave here, they'll be able to say that it was good to have been in the house of the Lord. Lord, again, I pray that you touch the offering, both the gift and the giver. Again, just fill this place with your presence. We'll be careful to praise you, Lord. Be with the choir as we sing, the musicians as they play. And again, speak through our pastor this morning. We'll be careful to praise you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you. You see, I was covering up those secret tears that I cried. But then one day, someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died to purchase my redemption. When you broke sin's power and set my spirit free, I'm amazed
that you love me.
How you care through your precious blood. Yes, it's true, there have been days when I failed you. Lord, you know that there's been times I've gone astray, but I've learned your love is stronger than my weakness, and your ear is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. You see other friends, they've never been as close to me. See, I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care through your precious blood. I'm now pardoned, and my sins are once, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. I'm amazed. Oh, that you love me. Yes, I'm amazed, Lord, just how much you care for your precious blood. Yes, I found pardon. My sins are one, all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away.
And it's good to be here this morning. After that singing kind of bottoms you out. But really enjoy singing. And did you enjoy the choir this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, I think I have a, I don't want to say it this way, but I guess I will for what I'm thinking, a magical handkerchief. I put it in my pocket, and when I step up here, it's gone. I'm searching here, searching there. But I think Brother Chris, he has the, Brother Rusty and Sister Chris, they've supplied with some handkerchiefs down here. My little emergency blankie, Brother. oh, me. Well, it's the first Sunday of the new year, and really we treat each Sunday that way, but we feel the Lord has laid something on our heart for specifically for this first Sunday of the new year, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you, and I hope that you'll receive some instruction for along the way, appreciate the crowd this morning. Got a good crowd, and appreciate the Lord for that. If you have your Bibles, let's take our Bibles and turn to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter number 33. Jeremiah 33 is going to be our place of reading this morning. And I found my handkerchief. I just didn't reach deep enough. Jeremiah 33. And again, I want to say I appreciate those who listen online and have been listening online for a number of years. I'm really trying to magnify the online ministry. There's people who can't make it to church, who can't come to Calvary. They're providentially hindered. They're hindered some way. But yet, because of our ministry, our online ministry, it can come right to their homes. And so I appreciate that. Appreciate those that may be listening. Jeremiah chapter number 33. I do want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Heavenly Father, we come one more time in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray as we get into your word this morning, Lord, that it'll be more than just ink on paper, Lord, but it would be the bread of life that it is. Lord, I'm reminded so many times that there's people in the congregation, although hands may not be raised in prayer requests or even unspokens, I'm reminded many times there's mountains of dilemmas in people's hearts and minds. So I pray this morning, Lord, that the message, your word, would be exactly what they need for today. Lord, when tomorrow comes, I pray that they would seek you out for that daily bread tomorrow. And then the next day. Father, we're grateful we have the Word of God, the daily bread, for us, Lord, to feast upon, to get us through, and to know you more. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. Speak now to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah chapter number 33 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name." Verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." And stop there in verse number 3. That's reading Jeremiah 33, verse number 1 through 3. And for those who have heard much preaching and teaching and study the Bible, this is a very familiar account given. The great and mighty things. I want it to be known this morning that at this particular time in the flow of Scripture here in Jeremiah, we know that the children of Israel and the prophet himself were experiencing a time of dread and emotional, and along with an emotional bend, so to speak. They heard, on one hand, they heard the good news of the future restoration. They heard the good news of how the Lord would visit them and cause them to be back in the land of blessing and to enjoy life again. But at the same time, it's the timing of when they heard it. Because at this particular point, they are in Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah the prophet, he's in prison. And everything that Jeremiah has told the people of God has been, and others that have heard it, Zedekiah, he's one of them, a leader, a king in that day. In fact, this is where Jeremiah is locked up, in the very prison of Zedekiah. And so there's this emotional bend they're on. There's this, we know that good is coming. We know that there's good in the plans of God somewhere. But what about now? Where we've been carried away captive by Nebuchadnezzar, and we have, so to speak, if I can say it this way, we have hung our harps in the willows. We have no song, and we have a time of dread. We're in Babylonian captivity. And then, to top it off, our prophet, our speaker, our leader, he's in prison. Is all of this just a fairy tale? I want to ask us all a question this morning. Really, it's a rhetorical question. It gives the answer within the question. Is all of this just a fairy tale? I mean, the Lord will bless us. The Lord will deliver us. The Lord is coming back for us. Is this all just a fairy tale? Is this just a story in the book? Again, that's a rhetorical question. Because we know it's not just a fairy tale. But I believe these, the children of Israel and the prophet himself, they've been through so much, and they're going through so much now. And I want you to notice that in chapter number 33, in verse number 1, Jeremiah is in prison. He's experiencing a darkness right now. I don't know all the elements in that prison, but those prisons in those days aren't as fancy as they are in our days. No television, no honey buns. I've never been in prison, but I've visited a lot of people. None of that, no leisure, no free time, no meetings with the family and relatives. It was chains, it was confinement, and it was darkness. I wonder this morning on the first Sunday of the new year, who might be in chains? I wonder who is you... You have wanted to move out of 2018 of the chains you were in. You were hoping by now that darkness would just be fleeting away from 2018. But now it's 2019 and here you are still in chains. Here you are still in darkness. And you're hoping that it would just change. You're hoping those dark shadows. You're hoping the darkness would just fleet away from you and all will be well. Jeremiah was in that situation. He was in prison. There was no light. He was in darkness. He was the one who spoke and told the children of Israel that, listen, God has a plan that you know not. God is working all things together for good, so to speak, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected end. This is the same message Jeremiah preached, but now he is locked down. The children of Israel are locked down. And sometimes in life, I feel like that we know, we believe, this is no fairy tale. Jesus is coming for us. We know that there is liberty in Jesus. We know that he has come to set the captives free. We know at the name of Jesus, as the song says, chains must fall. We know that. My question this morning is, what about now? What about now? How is life now for you? Are you enjoying everyday life? And I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness depends on happenings. When Friday's here, I'm happy. When Monday's here, I'm not. I mean, you know, we all experience that. We're real people. When the bank account is above what I need for my bills, I'm happy. And when it's below, I'm not. Not talking about that. I'm talking about, are you content where you're at? If your bank account never gets full, is that well with your soul? If things never change in your life, and just stay with me on this, Is it well with your soul? Some things in life we can change. We have the answer to. Sometimes in life we do things that cause us to be in the negatives on our bank account. Sometimes bodily we face things and we're back and forth to the doctor, not because it was providentially given to us by God, some kind of physical problem, but sometimes it's our own fault. I'm on blood pressure medication. I'm trying to do better. But there's other times where things are providentially given to us. But with all of that in the equation this morning, is all things well with your soul this morning? Are you still in bonds and chains? Is there darkness on your Monday mornings? Are you dreading Monday nights? When you lay your head on your pillow at night, do you fear that if you were to die during the night, you'd go to hell? These are some real questions that we need answers to. And Jeremiah the prophet, he had preached and he had prophesied. He had foretold things as of now, and he has foretold things in the future. And he was mocked and he was ridiculed, and now he's in a dark place. The children of Israel are in a dark place. What's going on, Jeremiah? What's going on, brothers and sisters, children of Israel? What's going on? Why are we in captivity to Nebuchadnezzar? Why is it, friend, speaking of the children of Israel here, why is it, friend, that we're not able to grab our harps down from the willows and play again like we once did? Maybe this morning there's some reminders we need to be reminded of. Maybe this morning in our verses, the Lord shows up to Jeremiah and he gives him some things to remember for these times. This morning I want to preach to you for a few moments on that subject, God's reminders. God's reminders. Because you see, sometimes in life we can be doing, Brother Ceylon, everything right we know to do. We can be going to church 3 times a week, plus revivals, plus activities. We can be working a regular job and punching a clock, raising a family, and still things happen, and they will happen. No matter how right you try to do things, things will still happen. And you have to deal with those things. But then there's those things that are in our life that we cause to happen. Maybe we didn't wait on the Lord like we should. Maybe we jumped too fast when the Lord wasn't ready. Maybe that sin we're hanging on to is God is captive and we're looking for that short-term release when ultimately we need God to release us. Many times we're either on one side or the other. Sometimes life is a seesaw, isn't it? One minute we're up, one minute we're down, and we're trying to live a stable, steady life so that we can do what God wants us to do. God gives Jeremiah this morning 3 reminders. In verse 1, 2, and 3, 3 reminders. If you're here this morning, I believe that God wants you to be reminded of these things. Verse number 1, I want you to notice, God reminded Jeremiah that he wasn't abandoned. He wasn't abandoned in his dark situation. Notice what he says. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, look at this, the second time. While he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. And so not only did God visit Jeremiah one time and speak to him one time while he was in prison, but notice he didn't leave him there without speaking to him. Sometimes in life we feel abandoned, don't we? And listen, sometimes our flesh will have us thinking that God abandoned us. We know God hasn't abandoned us. He sticketh closer than any brother. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. God is at home in our hearts to stay. But sometimes because of these prison days we're in, sometimes because of the battle with sin, sometimes because of the battle with the everyday mediocre mundane things of life, sometimes it's hard to stay straight. Believe in God. Oh yeah, God's coming back. The Lord's coming back one day, and He is coming back. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. He's going to do great and mighty things. Well, yeah, He is, but we have these situations in our life as normal human beings that profess the name of Christ. We're doing all that we can, but yet still there's struggle over here. And then over here, here's these that don't know God. And every day they wake up trying to fulfill their own desires. Maybe this will help today. You know, maybe this paycheck will help my lostness today. Maybe this drugs or maybe this alcohol on the way home from work, going by the liquor store, that'll help my lostness today. I want to say this morning that there are both sides in life, and I believe that this morning there are both categories right before us this morning, right within these four walls of the church. Maybe there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus. Maybe there's someone here today that's been living their life and day after day after day, month after month, year after year, you've been going from one fix to the other. You thought money would do it. You're more in debt now than ever. You thought alcohol would do it. You're more in bondage now than ever. I want to say this morning, what you need to do is come down to this altar and give Jesus a try. Jesus wants to take you in. Jesus wants to be your Savior. The Bible says, come ye and buy and drink that hath no money, that hath no goods. Isaiah said that. I want to say that this message this morning is for those who are broke, those who are miserable spiritually, have tried everything in life but Jesus. Won't you try Jesus this morning? Won't you come to the well this morning? Won't you come and drink from the water of life that is given freely this morning? I want to say that nearly 16 years ago, I came to that well. 16 years ago. Oh yeah, I'm in a suit and tie now. I'm in a suit and tie now. A suit and tie will cover up a whole lot. But I'll tell you what, I'm in a suit and tie now. I used to have a pull stick in my hand. Jeans and a t-shirt down on Whitlock Avenue. Marietta, hustling, drinking, and everything else you can think about it. That was me. I'd have my grandmother up all night, word sick. We were so mean to mom and dad. We chose to stay with our grandparents so they could have their sanity. Me and my brother, we were known as the Hell's Bells brothers. I'm not gloating over that, neither. We would find out where the first party was on the weekends. Invited or not invited, we were beating down the door wanting to get in. And we didn't come to make friends. We came to take over. Hell's Bells brothers, those who used to watch wrestling, the Bushwhackers. We're going back to the 80s and 90s now. Crazy boys. But you know what? November 19th, 2000, God saved my brother. Floyd Road Baptist Church, Brother Bob Daugherty was preaching. November 19th, 2002, on the same day, 2 years later, God saved me. In an old sweaty gym, Smyrna, Georgia, I was there working, trying to make a decent living. I was trying to distance myself from the party scene, see, turning over a new leaf, hoping for the best, aiming and don't know where you're aiming at. That was me. And then you've heard the story, but he came in, my brother, newly saved, and as newly saved people do, preach the word, share the word. They don't care. They don't hold back. And you know what? I want to be more like that now. We've become so tolerant nowadays and lullaby to sleep. But he came in, he said, Justin, I'll let you know something. If you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. And he looked happy when he told me. And I was sitting there trying to work, and I was shaking, and And I tried everything you could try to suffice this feeling I have on the inside. And I said, well, Chris, I said, I want to get saved. He said, well, when I said I want to get saved, he broke and ran. I mean, he was running to that little gym, and he was, hey, hey, I thought, what are you doing? He was looking for a Bible. But the owner, Tony, was a Christian, and he had a Bible. And we went to the office, and when we went to the office, he said, you can pray after me or pray yourself. I said, what do I pray? He said, all you got to do, and he was flipping the Bible, you know, new Christian, John 3:16, and Romans wrote. He said, that's what you got to do. Believe in your heart. Justin, you have to believe that Jesus did not design you for the destruction and the doom you're facing and living in. He has a purpose for your life. All you have to do is believe that. Believe also he died on the cross for you. While you were out there and you're there now, and while I was out there, he's telling the story, Jesus was on the cross dying for you. He died and he was buried, and on the third day he rose again for you. And then he asked the ultimate question. He said, Justin, in Romans 10:13, and he was already there, he said, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, I want to ask you one question. Who do you think he's talking about if he says whosoever? I said, he's talking about me. He said, you want to pray after me or you want to pray? I said, I want to pray. And to this day, I can almost remember exactly what I prayed. I said, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I've been trying every high and every low to fulfill that void on the inside of me. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life, the King of my life, my Lord and Savior. Lord, I want to fulfill my purpose. I'm tired of all the late nights and all the late mornings. I'm tired of that, Lord. Be the Lord of my life and save me. And you want to know, at that time, my chin started shaking. My brother started crying. We hugged for the first time since we were little boys. And I can tell you that from that day to this day, there's been highs and there's been lows. But there's one thing about it. Every single night, I can go to sleep with my head on my pillow without any rocks tossing and turning, making me feel rocky and rough, because I know that heaven will be my home. And life is still tough, and life is hard, and there's challenges, and things happen, but it's the Lord who gets us through those. And while we're pursuing him, we're walking toward our purpose. We're abiding in him, and he will not allow any good thing to be left behind. Sometimes we feel like, well, I need to do this because it'll do me good. The Bible says, in plain terms, if we follow him, he won't allow any good thing to be left behind. Okay? We will not lack any good thing. If there's anything the Lord wants us to have that'll benefit us, that'll help us and steer us in the right direction, he'll give it to us. All those other things we feel like that are good things for us, some are good, some are bad, some set us back, some move us along. Following Jesus, he has good things in store. And so Jeremiah was reminded that he wasn't abandoned. Notice in verse number 1, the second time, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. The second time. While he was yet shut up in the court of the prison. Jeremiah was in jail. He was in prison. Yet the Lord showed up to him. He didn't leave him abandoned. Hold your place here in Jeremiah. Turn to the New Testament, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4 for just a moment. Got me a new Bible. I'm getting used to it. KJV Bible. 2 Corinthians 4. No, you're in there. You're on. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Look, if you would, in verse number 8 and 9. Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Paul said, I'm not forsaken. I'm not forsaken because I'm a child of the King. He's my father. I'm his child. And Paul said, that doesn't mean that there's not going to come times where you're going to feel like you are pressed on every side. He just said it, pressed on every side. Verse number 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You see that there? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We get troubles on this side. We're troubled on that side, and there's troubles behind us and troubles before us. And Paul said, I'm troubled on every side, yet I'm not distressed. Why, Paul? Why are you not distressed? How is it that you have trouble not on just one side, but every side, and you're not perplexed? You're not in despair. You're not in distress. Why? It's because that's what Jesus will do for you. He's a very present help in time of trouble. The lost man over here that doesn't know Jesus, he's on a countdown. He's troubled on every side and in despair. And I'm not saying that we Christians don't get to that place and we actually feel like we're in deep, deep despair or distress, depressed is what I'm trying to say. He says we're troubled. The lost man, he's troubled on this side. He's troubled. He's in despair. He's sinking fast. There's no assurance of his heart in his heart of a helper. There's no present help in time of trouble, so he's in distress. He's sinking. Not every lost person does this, but it's been my experience. When I was lost, when I was in despair, had no job, had no home, high school dropout at the time, when I was in despair and I was sinking, I'd run to the bottle. That's my testimony. I'd run to the drugs. That's my testimony. Somebody said, bro, Justin, you ought not to tell all that about your testimony. Guess what? Leave my testimony alone. That's my testimony. Hey, listen, God had reached way down for me this morning. And the difference between a lost person and a saved person is a saved person and a lost person, they both go through stresses and trials in life. But the saved person has a very present help in time of trouble. The saved person, God uses all things together for good. I want to say, if I wasn't saved this morning, I'd be scared to death to walk out of this church because I may get in a car accident. I may die of a heart attack, and I would open my eyes in a devil's hell. You need to get saved this morning if you're not saved. Don't chance it. Don't walk out of here unsaved with no assurance of heaven in your heart. There is a literal place called hell this morning. The Bible talks about the worm dieth not. In fact, in the account of the rich man, doesn't even give him a name. Lazarus. Lazarus' name was remembered. In heaven, we have the assurance of heaven, of salvation. We'll remember one another in heaven by name. There'll be a recognition amongst us. I'll know who my mama is in heaven. You'll know your loved ones. Lazarus wasn't even recognized in hell. Oh, he's in hell, the rich man. I believe hell this morning is a place of torment. Hell is a place of remembrances, but not by your name. Hell, I believe, is a place where you will be remembered of the times you've heard the gospel. Hell is a place this morning where you'll remember the times when that old mean-spirited Baptist knocked on your door on Saturday mornings and you slammed the door in their face because you didn't want to be bothered. I want to say hell is a real place. And hell, in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes being in torment. In the place called hell, there's a place. It's a place of remembrances, but it's a place of remembering lost opportunities. It's a place of torment. Don't go to hell this morning. Jesus is standing at the door and he's knocking your heart's door and he wants to be let in. You see, the lost person over here in despair, they're on a slow slide to meet Satan. guess what? For the righteous. Bible says it's a pathway leading us that gets brighter and brighter. It doesn't matter how hard it gets for the lost person. For the saved person. It doesn't matter, Brother Selon, Brother Al. It doesn't matter. Listen, things happen. There's pains we feel. We know that. We don't understand things. But the Bible says for the saved person, it's going to get brighter and brighter. The best is yet to come for the church. Over here, this lost person taking their problems away. Or they're gambling, trying to get things squared away financially. They're doing all of these things, all of these shenanigans. They're trying to fill that void, but they're sliding into despair. I want to give you a sad statistic this morning. This is something we all to be alarmed about. Suicide rates are more high now than ever. But I want to go a step further than that. Regardless of what you believe about a Christian suicide, both are doing it. Both are doing it. I believe a person can be saved. And I say this with conviction. I believe a person can be saved and know Jesus. But they can shun the wooings and the drawings of the Holy Ghost. There is a deadline God has, not only for salvation, but for service. Else Paul wouldn't have said, I buffet myself. Because I don't want to be a castaway. Let me ask us all a question. I'm telling you, this starts with me. If someone is rendered a castaway in God's service, I'm treading lightly on this because this is a deep subject and now is not the time to get into it without fully explaining it. Do you think God was just going to leave somebody to live out their days of the destruction of the flesh on the shelf? He'll take them home early. Saying that, I am not saying that's connected to Christian suicide. I'm not saying that because it's not. What I am saying, and listen very clearly to me what I'm about to say, because I mean what I'm about to say. You can think you got life, lost or saved. I've got this thing by the horns. I'm going to live my life. Somebody hurt me at church. Somebody crossed me sideways at church. I'm not going to church anymore. Oh, I don't go. Somebody said the other day, the reason why I don't go to any church is all them hypocrites. I'd rather go to heaven with them than hell with them. I believe a person can get so low. I know preachers who've wrote books and finally came out on the platform and say, I believe a Christian can suffer depression. And I believe a Christian can take their own life. And regardless, this is what I believe. We have way too much of a casual walk with God. We have a casual walk with God. God is not a derelict father. He's not going to allow his children. I don't know God's timelines. I don't know how long he allows a Christian to get in the world and enjoy sin, try to enjoy sin. And I don't know how many times God will chasten somebody and get at them and touch their body, touch a loved one, trying to get whatever the situation. I don't know. It's God's deadline. But if I want to preach the whole counsel of God's word this morning, I have to say we have a great responsibility as Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord. Those that live without chastisement, the Bible says, are bastards and not sons. It's KJV language right there. And we know we have Samson in the Old Testament, and he got a haircut, and he was, the Bible says that they plucked his eyes out, and he was shaven, his head was. And at the very end, he grabbed the columns, and he pulled them on himself. And the Bible says that through his death, he killed more than his life. I've been at some funerals where there's been suicide of Christians. Only God knows their relationship. And I've seen more people saved at their death than their life. This thing's deep this morning, folks. It's not to be taken casual. And I, number one this morning, I repent. I want to step into this new year with not a fear if I don't serve God. This is going to happen. I'm going to be struck. No. But you see, I believe that a Christian has desires to serve God. And if we ignore those desires, we will grow numb to them and hardened and calloused. Like the Bible says in the latter days, that there will be a falling away. And the love of many will wax worse and worse. Why is there so much bickering in churches? The love of many is waxing worse and worse. Someone was just blasting someone the other day about why they don't go to church. Another situation. I'm thinking the love of God is not in them. No. Love of God is not in them. Let me say this. Paul said that he was troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Look over in same book, 2 Corinthians, but chapter number 1. Notice verse number 8. We want to wrap this up in just a moment, and we may finish it tonight. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 1, verse 8, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia." Notice this. "That we were pressed." Trouble which came to us in Asia. "That we were pressed at a measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Paul said, "It got so bad I didn't want to live." You ever been there before? Church is the place to be honest, folks. Let's take the mask off. Let's get real. That's when help comes. Have you despaired of life before? If you haven't, I doubt you've been on the battlefield for long. Paul despaired of life. Look what else he said. He gave up on himself. Look at verse number 9. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." Paul said, "I thought it was over. I've done gave myself over to death. We're going to die. I can't go on, and we're going to die." Let's read further. Verse number 9 again. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." We thought it was over. "That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." Paul discovered something in that state of mind he was in. He said, "We despaired of life, didn't want to live. We thought it was over." But notice what he says. Verse number 8, "above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves." We had it. We don't feel that way anymore. You want to know why? "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised." You know what he found out? In that low, depressed state, I'm trusting in myself. That's why I'm depressed. That's why my life is falling apart. That's why there's no joy, and that's why I'm saying that. That's why I gave up on myself, because I'm trusting in myself. But Paul says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doeth deliver now, in whom we trust that will yet deliver." Paul said, "At the end of my rope, I bumped into somebody, and it was Jesus. And he reminded me of how he delivered me. And he reminded me of how he's going to deliver me now. And he reminded me of how he's going to deliver me." God's reminders. "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." Let me tell you, let me just give this to you. Are you trusting in yourself this morning? Those chains that are in 2019, that were in 2018, are they there because you're trusting in yourselves to break that chain? Why don't you allow God to be your chain breaker this morning? Why don't you do this as Paul did? We're pressed out of measure, and it's just continually. God only allowed it to go so far. We had the sentence of death. Maybe you're here this morning. You're saying, Brother Justin, I'm not going to raise my hand. I may not even come to the altar, but I'm just going to say that I'm in the phase of despair and of life. And if nobody is going to preach on suicide, I'll preach on suicide. There may be someone listening that may be thinking about suicide. There may be someone in here. You say, Brother Justin, that's too morbid. No, it's not. Let me ask you something, and I'm not pumping me up. I have to say this. I used to work at a funeral home. When you're looking over the body of a 16-year-old girl who killed herself, where they had an autopsy, that'll change you, friend. There may be someone here that is thinking about it. And my word to you is, change your trust from you to God. He has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. And I feel like this morning that God wants you to know and be reminded of what you've already heard your whole life. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And He wants you to know Him. If you have no assurance of heaven, come down this morning. If the Lord bids, meet the Lord. Ask Him into your heart to save you. We'll meet with you in the altar, but maybe you're a saved person. You already know the Lord. You come as well. As we stand to our feet, you come as well. The saved person, come and receive. Get what you need as the altars are open. Obey the Lord this morning.
Just as I am.
Will anybody come this morning?
Without one plea.
Are you tired of being